Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What up? Welcome in, J&J, Monday, September 22nd edition of the show. And we're going to eat some dubs around here. Memphis football says take your 4.6% chance to win in the second quarter. Turn that sumbitch sideways and stick it straight up your candy ass. The University of Memphis football program makes it 1-2-3-4 5 wins in a row over the Power Conference teams at home for the University of Memphis. 32-31, as dramatic, as tense, as back and forth as it gets. And Memphis football pulls it off as a 7.5-point underdog against the Arkansas Razorbacks, keeping their undefeated season alive, keeping their playoff hopes alive, and potentially moving even to the front of that line. We'll get into all of that today here on the show. What a weekend it was for the University of Memphis. What a weekend it was for the American. Let's not just focus on Memphis. Tulsa beats Oklahoma State. It was a truly great weekend for Tim Pernetti. He's, I don't know what airport bar he's in today, but he's drinking. Okay? He's having a damn good time and a damn good day after that weekend for his conference. So we will get into all of that today here on the show, obviously celebrating a massive win for Memphis and specifically a massive win for Ryan Silverfield. There's just no question about that. So looking forward to getting into all that today here on the show. Pack show, Dan Wolkin is going to join us at 11:25. We will talk to him about sort of what this win means for Memphis and the playoff discussion, what it means for Ryan Silverfield. You know, we'll obviously get into the Arkansas side of it a little bit with Sam Pittman, other SEC coaches that seem to be very much on their way out. So we'll do that with Dan Wolkin at 11:25. 12:25, really, really excited about this. I was sitting around thinking, and I was like, you know, I know Memphis football guys. Like, people think that I'm just a Memphis basketball guy, right? I know Memphis football guys. And I was thinking, I was sitting around, I was like, who would be the perfect person to have on a day like this? Like, if I can't get, you know, D'Angelo Williams, or I can't get Isaac Bruce, or I can't get Paxton Lynch, or I can't get Danny Wimprine, or I can't get Joe Doss, or I can't get Arkelin Hall, or I can't get Riley Ferguson. Who would, like, if I just go through all those players, right, who could I get that would be good? Chris Powers. Most famous for catching a pass against Tennessee that was kind of important. He is going to join us in studio. I don't think we've had him in studio ever here on this show. Maybe we've had him by phone. We've never had him in studio. And he wanted to come in studio because he wanted to, you know, yuck it up. He's a great yucker. He's one of my favorite people, actually. I've known Chris for a really long time. When I was starting in the business, Chris was extremely nice to me. I don't remember if he was doing Memphis football broadcasts at the time, But he's always been very, very nice. Really fascinating guy. I think he like randomly moved to Germany, you know, maybe to get in touch with his Caucasian roots. I don't know. But he's now back, and he's gonna be in studio with us. Former Memphis tight end Chris Powers, great Chris Powers, will join us in studio at 12:25. Then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins is going to join us, and we'll, of course, talk all things Memphis, all things Ryan Silverfield. I think he would agree, you know, about the significance of that win for Ryan Silverfield. I got to tell you, it was a fun weekend. Memphis football, man, it really is amazing. It really is amazing that in a way, it's a surprise that they won because they were 7.5-point underdogs. But if you really just put it in a pot of boiling water and you just strip it all away, it's really not that surprising that they beat Arkansas. Like, this team at home has been one of the best in the country over the last few years. And they've now won 5 in a row against Power 5 teams. And it's amazing that we're at a place where, you know, I don't know if they stormed the field. I don't really think it was the storming. It was more like a, we'll just let them walk on the field. You know what I mean? Like, people were just kind of like slowly, you know, galloping onto the field. It wasn't really like the goalpost coming down or anything like that. So I will give Memphis some credit there. But it was a party, right? It was a party. We're celebrating a party.
Yeah.
Memphis football gets a massive win on ABC again. I mean, they just thrive on ABC, and they thrive on ABC against Power 5 teams. I mean, it's just amazing what they've done, you know, over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons. And I just got to, you know, first and foremost, before we get into the actual game itself and the actual, you know, how it all happened, you know, you have to give massive credit to Ryan Silverfield. That team showed some real resolve. It did. I mean, we're all watching it. They're down 28-10. You know, after that trick play doesn't work, there's a couple of turnovers. Arkansas is kind of starting to lean on them a little bit. Taylen Green's kind of getting off. And you know, we're all thinking like, damn, you know, maybe Memphis is, you know, it's gonna be that kind of year. Arkansas is a cut above, and it's the SEC and all the SEC money, and the defensive line is so big, and you know, it's just, we're all having that feeling, right? I mean, I tweeted that it was getting ugly fast, which it was. And if my tweet, that one tweet, if that was the maddest you got this weekend, you're living a charmed life. If my tweet saying that it was getting ugly fast for Memphis is made you the most mad you got this weekend, I'd say you had a damn good weekend. Because I didn't think that was remotely controversial at the time. I thought it was getting away from Memphis, and it was getting ugly for Memphis, and I did not think it was, because Memphis runs the ball. They run the ball nearly 60% of the offensive snaps, right? They are not a team that is equipped to play from behind. They're a team that wants to play ahead of the sticks, that needs to play ahead of the sticks, we think, until they get down 28-10 against an SEC team. And that's when the flip switches. Obviously, you know, you get the you get that late half touchdown from Brendan Lewis to Cortez Brand that honestly felt like it changed everything. You know, again, credit to Memphis, man. I just think the biggest thing from that game, and we can get into the sort of the particulars of the playoff and the American and the odds and everything like that. But I just think first and foremost, you got to start with that man's built a culture in Memphis football. And I know, you know, we talk quite a bit about not winning the American, and that is a problem, and that has to change. But I do think, like, what is undeniable is that he always seems to have a group of guys that never feel like they're out of the game. And they had every reason to think they were out of the game. They had every reason to fold, and they did not fold. They held Arkansas instead to 3 second-half points. It was really quite the transformation from first half to second half, and I think it has to start with Ryan Silverfield. So, for everybody that always thinks that I can't give Ryan Silverfield credit or that I have something against Ryan Silverfield that or the regime, not at all. It's always been about the product and the bottom line business of it. But I think what you cannot argue is that team fights its ass off every single week, man. And that's what happened. I mean, that really was all hard grit grind. I give me the Tony Allen post game, bro. All hard grit grind. And that's what Memphis football gave you on Saturday. And I don't think it was. I don't think it could have possibly been embodied more than by how the game ended. It was kind of crazy, right? You get the fumble, which again is like, we're not going to just sit here and take this. We're not going to just sit here and, you know, let the Arkansas running back convert the first down, and we're going to take that line. We're going to try to peanut punch that thing out. And that is exactly what happened. So you get the football back, and Arkansas lucky enough for them, happen to have three timeouts. And so you're like, all right, well, damn. They're going to get one more crack at this, and they only have to hit a field goal. And they have the number one ranked kicker in America, apparently. And you get to this third and eight, and then just because there's sort of two schools of thought here, right? It's like, yeah, of course, this is a Memphis friggin' athletic sports thing. The starting quarterback, Brendan Lewis, who has been brilliant in the second half, who played his balls off, of course his helmet comes off. Of course he has to leave for a play after second down. Biggest play of the game offensively, and this guy has to come out. And so you get the redshirt freshman, Arrington Maiden, who hasn't played a snap, who played like maybe one snap last year. And, oh, by the way, kid, you got to go ice the game. So you're thinking, all right, it's just going to be like a handoff. They'll just hand it off to Sutton Smith. And that, by the way, would not have been a bad idea. Sutton Smith was torching their ass all day. Memphis was gashing them all day. But Memphis calls Arrington Maiden's number. Third and eight, ice the game. You don't get it. Arkansas calls a timeout, and they get the ball back with a chance to win. Instead, you call Arrington Maiden's number. This is what happens.
But this is a pressure situation on third and eight, and he is going to run it ahead. And look at the extra effort. Look at this effort by Arrington Maiden, who comes into the game and comes up as big as you can. And keep in mind, that's a 390-pounder on the inside of the Arkansas defensive line.
Unbelievable, because obviously you can't see that play. I assume all of you were watching it, but he heads right into this pile, right? He heads right into the pile, and you're like, all right, it's gonna be fourth and four, and we're gonna have to sweat this out again. But like, he didn't stop turning his legs, he didn't stop moving, he didn't stop running, and he's just got this massive human being just basically riding his coattails. This backup redshirt freshman quarterback who hadn't played a damn snap this year has this NFL nose tackle, you know, trying to hold on by the ankles, basically. And it's not enough. And Memphis ices the game. And it was just such a perfect ending because, I mean, how many redshirt freshman quarterbacks are coming in there and doing that against an SC? I mean,
Man, I don't know, man.
It speaks to that program. It speaks to that program. I mean, there's just no two ways about it that they believed. I mean, I think it's crazy to have called his number. I think it's crazy to have put the ball in his hands because he hasn't played. He's gotten no experience. And you could have just handed it off to Sutton Smith, who was a little bit more trustworthy, right? A lot more trustworthy. But they said, no, we're going to trust the kid. And I do think when we've criticized some Ryan Silverfield decisions on this show. And that's just the way it goes. I mean, we criticize Penny Hardaway decisions. We're going to criticize Tuomas Isolo decisions. That's just the way it goes. You criticize the decisions. But that decision was a powerful one. And I think it's one that, you know, when your locker room believes like that, it could be special. It really could be a special thing. Like, you know, the Indiana Fever. I'm just bringing them up as an example. Like, they have no players right now. Like, Caitlin Clark is out. Sylvie Cunningham is out. All their good players are hurt. They're up 1-0 on the Aces because they're playing for each other. You know what I mean? I know that's a WNBA example. I promise you guys I would talk WNBA. I'm a man of my word.
You watch so we don't have to.
I watch so you don't have to. That applies to preseason football. It applies to WNBA. It applies to college basketball. Just here to serve. Here to serve, man. And so I think when you have a team that plays for each other like that, and that's what this Memphis team is showing that they are doing, it truly – you could be on the precipice of something special. I mean, look, we didn't know what this Memphis football. They played Chattanooga, they played Georgia State, and they played Troy with their backup quarterback, right? And they handled their business. But we didn't know. We didn't know what this team really was because they hadn't been tested. They hadn't been under any kind of stress yet. And they were against Arkansas. They were under immense stress, the most possible stress. They're down 28-10. They had a 4.6 percent chance to win the game. I mean, a lot of teams, most teams, 96% of teams are folding in that scenario. But Memphis did not. And again, I think that is a credit to them. And It was an awesome day. It was an awesome day out at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Again, another fantastic showcase, right, for the city, for the program, especially, you know, sort of in the times that we're in right now. It was major. It was major for Ryan Silverfield specifically, because that's what we talked about, right? That's what we came in here on Friday and we said, listen, it's probably not going to mean much to, you know, your sort of American Conference chances, and we'll get to that later, but what it does do is that it does, I think, instill a belief in the fan base that, hey, maybe the first 2 to 3 years were just Silverfield learning on the job. Maybe there were some bad breaks the last couple of seasons, and that maybe, in fact, this program can go where it needs to go with Ryan Silverfield at the helm, which is, again, making that conference championship game, winning that conference championship game, and going to the college football playoff. I mean, that needs to be the goal, and it should be the goal. I don't think that's unrealistic. I don't think that's unreasonable. And how can you argue that when in comes Arkansas, they have unbelievable amounts of money. I think in 2025, these wins against these SEC teams, these Power Four, this is more impressive than beating Tennessee back in 1996, in my opinion. Even though the rankings won't suggest that,
sure,
the inequity today is it's almost incomprehensible. You know, even a team like Arkansas that kind of is a mediocre SEC team, they have, I would guess, 5-10 times more money than you. And you know, back then, you know, you weren't supposed to be paying players. Who knows? I don't know what Tennessee. They had a bunch of NFL players on that Tennessee team. I'm just saying that when the money is out there and it's abundant like it is today, and Memphis has some. Don't get me wrong, Memphis has some money, but it's still not anywhere close to an SEC team. When you pull something off like this, I think in many ways it's even more impressive, just because of that wealth gap, man. You know, true underdogs. When you're the American, you're playing a team with a $20 million, $25 million budget. You know, what do you got? Six? I don't know. I don't know what their budget is exactly. I don't think it's much. I think Arkansas probably has at least 3 to 4 times more money than Memphis, would be my guess. I could be wrong, but that would be my guess. But I think it's a massive sort of moral victory for Ryan Silverfield. It's a great win for the team, but just for Silverfield, it's like, hey, you know, we're building something here. You know, come back to the building. Let's get fans out, you know, for these games. And I think, you know, you talk about the future. You got Tulane at home. You got South Florida home. I mean, those should be sellouts, in my opinion. I mean, because now we're talking about the college football playoff really being on the line. Now we're talking about the possibility of hosting the American Conference Championship game in Memphis, right? So that is what I think beating this Arkansas team and doing it in the fashion that they did, that's what's on the table. It was on the table before. And even had Memphis lost, it would not have been off the table. But there's just we don't have to dance around it. You feel better about Memphis doing that today than you did before they played Arkansas. You feel better about the possibility of Memphis hosting that championship game, of beating South Florida. I mean, their home record is unreal, man. You play in Memphis, you're not winning. It's just true. It's one of the great, you know, advantage, home field advantages in the country. I believe Memphis now is the owner of the longest win streak in America, thanks to Illinois getting blasted by Indiana. They've won 8 games in a row because Ohio State was off last week, right?
Yeah.
I believe they didn't play last week. So Memphis stands alone. They have the longest win streak in America at 8 games in a row. And it could not have been more dramatic. You know, they stared down the face of death multiple times in that game. I mean, we all were thinking it like, damn, you know. At the end of it, it's like, you know, hey, you took the lead. You gave your fans some incredible moments, right, with that long run. I mean, just kind of gashing Arkansas all day. You gave them a ton of fun, but at the end, Arkansas is going to – they got Taylen Green. They got the leading passer in the SEC. He's going to do enough to you know, to get them into field goal range and hit the game winner. But it was not to be. It was not to be. Memphis survived. Memphis advances. They're now remaining undefeated, and again, I think you got a lot to really feel good about. I mean, listen, we can nitpick. I didn't really want to do that. I didn't really want to nitpick, because we got 3 hours to fill, man. And I can nitpick with the best of them. You want to pick some nits? Let's pick some nits. But what really matters is that, like, you were a consistent 7.5-point underdog all week long. I know the sharpest college football bettors that I know were on Arkansas -7. Like, literally, we'll put them up against anybody. They're betting six figures a game. Okay? They were in Arkansas. And Memphis said, you know what? Don't care. We don't care that the market's against us. We don't care that nobody thinks we're going to win this game. We're going to do this for Brad. And here's another thing that I've just decided, right? I didn't think Memphis was going to win the game. I did not think they were going to win the game. I said that. I thought Arkansas would win. I thought Taylor Green would go off. He did go off, in fairness. I mean, he had 375 yards of offense. But I'm just going to just pick Memphis in every game now from here on out. That's what I've learned. That's what I've learned over the years, Brad. Just pick Memphis. You know, what's the harm? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if they lose, who cares? Nobody remembers. The problem is, if you pick against Memphis, and I was the only,
remember,
I,
yeah.
I wasn't the only one on the station that picked against Memphis.
No, and you
there
were.
There were some who wore the uniform to pick against Memphis.
Yeah.
And I think that is an act of betrayal the likes of man has never seen.
Yeah.
I just cannot believe that anybody who wore that uniform would ever do that. But I'm just going to start picking Memphis, like, whatever, every game.
I have resolved that they're not going to lose a regular season game this year.
I mean, look, it's possible. Every big game they play is here. They play Navy here. They play South Florida here. They play Tulane here. They don't play North Texas, which matters.
And they're good.
North Texas is really freaking good.
Yeah.
They don't play UTSA, which I don't know how good they are. But, like, literally, it is not crazy. It is not. Am I predicting it? No.
Yeah.
But can you have that discussion without being laughed out of the room? No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Memphis football will be favored in every game they play the rest of the year. That does not mean they will win every game.
That's right.
Arkansas was favored on Saturday. They lost the game. Memphis was favored against Navy last year. They were favored against UTSA. They lost both games. So it's not as though we've never seen Memphis lose as a favorite.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know. It's not, and it gives you an idea, of what your expectations are the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Which is, again, to win every game in a vacuum.
Yeah, and that's the expectation, to be honest. And that's a lot of pressure, but that is the expectation. I hate the pressure, and none of us want that, but that's the next mountain to climb.
No, it is. Now, again, it's not necessarily go undefeated. You know, I can't really
win your conference,
but it is. It's to first. Okay, we got to walk before we run. We got to make the conference championship game.
Yeah,
that has not happened on Ryan Silverfield, right? You got an amazing chance to do that.
Yeah.
You have an amazing chance because you have all of these games at home. And that's a break. And you got to capitalize. Memphis caught some – they created some breaks against Arkansas. All right, don't get me wrong. But they caught some breaks too.
Sure.
They didn't get called for what I believe was an offensive pass interference on that late half touchdown. I mean, he pushes them off with both hands. They didn't call it. A touchdown was called back for Taylen Green because of a hold that – you know, I don't know if that gets called in Fayetteville, for example. I think that's probably not going to get called. That was a break, and that ended up resulting in no points because on the third down, Memphis drew up some pressure, and they forced a sack and knocked him out of field goal range. Massive call, and they also, of course, forced that fumble there at the end of the game. Now, again, Arkansas caused some breaks too. We can do this all day long. But my point is, Memphis, all the breaks Memphis got in this game, they maximized.
That's
right. They absolutely capitalize on all of them. And that's the difference, right? When you capitalize, like, you can be the Raiders and you can get a Mariota fumble and you can not capitalize because you're a bad team. Or you can be Memphis and catch some breaks and look the variance gods in the eye and say, thank you, we will not let you down. And that's what they did, right? They took advantage. Third and eight, we're going to give it to our bull in a china shop, Arrington Maiden, and we're going to trust him to get 8 yards against an SEC defensive line, okay, and a 400-pounder. And they did. It was awesome. It was an awesome day. And if anybody thought that I would ever come in here and say anything different than that, I don't know what I've done to make you think that. But it was just an awesome day and so much fun. And, you know, now Memphis has a chance to do something that they've never done. They continue to have a chance to do something that they've never done. And we're going to feel much better about that today than we otherwise would have. So awesome, awesome day for Memphis football. Important day for Ryan Silverfield. And I hope that the response is as big as I hope it, you know, I hope as I want it to be, right? Like I hope that Memphis football fans will reward that win by going to the South Florida game, by going to the Tulane game, right? There's just no reason those games shouldn't be sellouts. I mean, what more do you want? They beat an SEC team. They're undefeated. I don't think they're ranked. I don't think they're going to be ranked. They'll be close. I mean, we talked about that because, you know, Arkansas is now 2-2. You weren't receiving votes last week in the AP poll. It's hard to imagine a jump because, you know, you got a lot of teams like North Texas. What do you do with North Texas? They're 5-0. They beat the hell out of Washington State. They beat Army this weekend in overtime. Like, you got some teams you're going to have to fend off. But just a phenomenal weekend for Memphis football. I really enjoyed it. They have something to them. They got something to them that I didn't know that. How could I? How could anybody know? How could anybody know? Because they've never been under that kind of pressure before, right? They've never been under any kind of duress. They were under it, and that's really when the mortgage is due, right? And you got $12 in your bank account, and you got to come up with a couple racks to pay that mortgage by next week. That's when we find out who you are as a man, as a provider, as a person. I'm going to go make this happen. You know, mortgage was due for Memphis football in 2018, right? They only had $12 in their bank account, all right? This is some real, what was that Will Smith movie, man? You know what I'm talking about? What was that damn movie, man? Well, the one where he was, it's going to drive me crazy. It's the one where he had the son and I can't remember what the damn
was. The Pursuit of Happiness?
The Pursuit of Happiness, man. Yeah. It was Will Smith and The Pursuit of Happiness.
Chris Gardner is a salesman who becomes homeless and struggles.
And all Memphis had was a dollar and a dream, a chip and a chair, all right? Mortgage is due. And they came up with it, man. They found a way to pay. And I think I really do. I think it's got a chance to be a special team. I think from a spiritual standpoint, that's already been proven. I'm a big spiritual person, like in that way. I don't mean like in terms of like religion. I mean in terms of a team spirit. You know, like who are you? What are you about? When you know it's nut cutting time and everybody's looking around, blaming each other. It's 28-10. You know, you're doing these trick plays that ain't working. Defense is kind of starting to break a little bit. Like who are you? And Brendan Lewis has a horrific start to the game from a passing standpoint. Right, horrific start. But what happens in the second half? He settles in.
Yeah.
Starts to kind of hang out in that pocket a little bit, just kind of take what the defense gave him. Started to use his legs, you know, and that's a big reason why he was brought in.
Yep.
Again, we can talk about the limitations because there are some limitations. But Memphis earned that game. They took that game. They earned that game on Saturday, and it was really fun to watch. So I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes from here. But this very well, this is starting to look like it's Silverfield's best team. And you hope that, you know, the end of this, the only thing I don't hope, and I don't think we'll get there, but I hope that by the end of this, we're not saying that another year where Memphis is not in the AAC championship game, right? Like you got to stamp that. But again,
that's it.
They're in great position to do that. They're in great position to do that. And, that was a lot of fun. All right, we'll come back. Dale Wolkin's going to join us. We'll talk to him about that win for Memphis, what it means, Ryan Silverfield, around college football. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And I turn a fan, ESPN. Memphis football. Now, you know, I got to say, I thought about you this weekend because, you know, you came on and, you know, you took the 2-on-1 from me and Jason before the season started about Ryan Silverfield. And your position was, listen, this guy's won 21 games the last 2 years. What the hell is wrong with you guys? And obviously over the weekend, Memphis completes the biggest comeback in the FBS this season so far on Saturday against the SEC's Arkansas. What will that win mean? I guess will is probably the wrong, but what does it mean today for Ryan Silverfield and Memphis football, Dan?
Well, I mean, for Memphis football, it means you're I guess in the driver's seat for the college football playoff bid, although there's still so much football left to play. I'm not sure that even matters, but certainly when everyone starts doing their projections, and we did ours at Yahoo today on the 12-team field, I think Memphis is probably going to be in it for just about everybody right now. But, you know, at the same time, for Ryan Silverfield, it probably means that Memphis is going to maybe have some competition to fight him off going in to next year. I mean, we'll see. There's a long way to go, but Ryan Silverfield, with the success he's had, the number of games he's won, certainly is going to be a name that schools at the Power Four level are going to be talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like there's going to be, you know, so much movement too. I mean, you have Florida has to make decisions, Arkansas has to make decisions, and then just the ripple effects. And we'll get to all those programs here in just a little bit. But on Memphis, Dan, this is now, you know, five straight Power Five teams or Power Four teams that they have beaten at home. They have not lost to an SEC team at home since the Larry Porter era. And I know we have this conversation, and ultimately it just kind of goes in a circle, but it really is frustrating that Memphis continues to do what they do, and yet no autonomy league has decided that Memphis is good enough. You know, what would you tell frustrated Memphis fans? Because I know inevitably, like, you see Oklahoma State lose to Tulsa, you see Kansas State lose to Army, and you're just like, man, Memphis isn't good enough for the Big 12. What would you say to frustrated Memphis football fans who continue to, you know, see their program produce but be excluded?
Well, the quality of the football program was never really the issue. It's all the other stuff, and mostly it's perception, and it's a little bit of elitism probably on the part of administrators at the power conference level. And that's where you need to focus, really. That's where the school has got to do the work, is, you know, repairing or erasing this image as sort of a rogue program, which is certainly related much more to basketball than football, but it does sort of color how people have viewed the school, and, you know, continue to fill the stadium and all that stuff. I don't know what else you can do.
Right.
Obviously, the administration there and the supporters and FedEx have committed and done all they can to pitch themselves to these leagues, but it's just obviously going to be more time, and it's going to take more work, and it's going to take a lot of luck because nobody really knows what the landscape of realignment is going to be in 3 or 4 years.
Well, you've talked about this on this show, but I mean, you know, you worked here and you were the Memphis Tiger basketball beat writer when, like, football wouldn't even get a side eye from anybody. It was just a complete afterthought. And to, like, whatever this Memphis football season ends up being, whether they make the playoff, whether they, you know, fall short in the American, whatever the case may be, obviously the floor is just so ridiculously high with this program every single year that it's almost impossible to fathom that 13, 14 years ago it was in the shape it was in. What changed? Like, what made it possible, Dan, for Memphis football to be this, you know, dead end for anybody to where it is now, which, like, even if Ryan Sinfield got another job, it feels like they'd have their pick of the hot up-and-coming guy. Like, what changed at Memphis?
Clearly investment changed, but I also think a lot of it was just luck. I mean, and you hate to put it down to that, but when they hired Justin Fuente, nobody knew who he was, really. Nobody wanted the job. Like, it was going to take some kind of miracle to get that thing back up and running because it was so, so bad. Now, it certainly shouldn't have ever gotten as bad as it was, and I think that was probably more of the anomaly than anything, and it was the lack of commitment, the lack of investment, and maybe some bad decisions that put them in that position. But at the same time, when they hired Justin Fuente, I don't think anybody would have expected that within, you know, 3-4 years they were going to be among the best programs outside the power conferences. But he did that work and got them up and running, and then he leaves and you back it up with another good hire in Mike Norvell. And obviously Mike's gone on and done good things at Florida State, and I think he's really established himself as a great coach in college football, last year's disaster notwithstanding. So it does come down to hiring and the personnel decisions. And, you know, you hit 3 coaches in a row at that level, that's very hard to do. And it seems like they've done that.
Yeah. We're talking to Dan Wilkin from Yahoo Sports, covers college sports for Yahoo. Interestingly enough, I just checked the odds this morning because I was just curious, like, to see how, you know, the market's priced Memphis. And I was a little surprised that Tulane and South Florida are both the co-favorites still in the American at, granted, plus 290. But Memphis is 4-1 to win the American. Does that seem right to you? I mean, they do play both of those teams in Memphis.
Yeah, I think certainly when you look at that aspect of it, I would favor Memphis. I don't know why the odds are like that at this point. Certainly Tulane got beat really badly by Ole Miss last weekend, and that may say more about Ole Miss than it does Tulane, but still, you know, you lose a game by 30 points. You know, I don't think Memphis would do that. I think they seem to be a little higher quality when you look at the way they played against Arkansas, who, by the way, like the week before was right there down to the wire with Ole Miss. Mm. So I do think South Florida is good, but the bloom may come off the rose a little bit for them. You know, they beat Florida. Florida's got major, major problems. Their offense is a complete disaster. And I do think it's good in the American to have these teams beating power conference opponents. I think the league is going to be fairly competitive. But right now, I definitely would give an edge to Memphis based just on the personnel I've seen and the level they're capable of playing.
Yeah, I agree with that, especially since they don't lose at home. I mean, it's pretty nuts to me. All right, there's another element, another angle of this game, and that of course, would be the loser. Just another straight week of you know, just fumbles and bad turnovers and bad decision-making from Arkansas. 3 points in the second half, you know, for a Bobby Petrino offense feels unacceptable. I'm kind of surprised that Pittman is still working there. What's the trajectory for him at Arkansas?
It's probably to his retirement home in Hot Springs. I mean, just being honest, like, that's the trajectory. They want him gone. I think they'll probably get their wish at the end of the season. We'll see what happens with the AD. Hunter Yurachek's not the most popular guy in Arkansas right now. I wrote about this in the Misery Index on Sunday, and it's one of those situations where Arkansas's administration will tell you, well, we can't win at the highest level in football because we don't have the money invested in the roster that other teams in the SEC do. And yet they do have that in basketball and baseball and a lot of other sports. It's not like Arkansas is lacking money and their donors don't want to give. but they don't want to give to a football team coached by Sam Pittman. So what I think is probably going to happen is Arkansas will get rid of him, they'll hire a new coach, and then all of a sudden those donors who were on the sidelines will start contributing. Now, is that going to be good enough? Time will tell. It's obviously a competitive space. Everyone's spending money and all that stuff, and it's going to come down to what kind of coach you hired and how good of a job they do. But, yeah, like I just don't think this is sustainable, and I think that loss to Memphis probably seals the fate of Sam Pittman. And at some point, I don't know if it'll be in the next couple weeks, but we'll probably see Bobby Petrino as the interim head coach for the Razorbacks, and that'll be good content.
It'll be good content, but that's also like, you know, that's the sort of the ugly part of this for Memphis is like, you're just like, you're never going to get a game like this ever again, man, because, you know, you win them and then the coach has to get fired when he loses them on the other side. I mean, it's unfortunate, really.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody right now is super excited to play at Memphis, and that's what you fall into when you build a program that is successful year over year. Just ask Boise State. Like, when's the last time you saw teams in the power conferences really go play at Boise? It's pretty rare, and that's because there's just easier games.
That's exactly right. All right, another SEC coach that I fail to understand why he still is going to wear a headset next week is Billy Napier. I mean, his defense played well enough to you know, keep him in the game, but just anemic offensively, just absolutely awful, as bad as it gets. What's the future for Billy Napier in Gainesville?
Yeah, I think he's probably dug too big of a hole, and they've got a really tough schedule. They may win a game that they're not supposed to win, but I don't really see the ability to do much more than that, which means they're going to probably be like 5-7, which is certainly not going to be good enough. So I don't know when they'll do it. It'll probably be closer to the end of the season, but I would not expect Billy Napier to coach in 2026 at Florida.
We focused so much on the negative. There was some good. This Miami team, they just continued to be a cut above, it feels like. And that was not a great game from Carson Beck. But I don't know if he made a single throw after that first drive. But yet the box score will show that it was just a domination by that team. How legitimate a national champion contender are the Miami Hurricanes, Dan?
They certainly look like one of the most, if not the most, complete team in college football right now. I do think by the end of the year, you know, we'll see if Texas gets their act together offensively. There's other teams out there that I think are very capable of winning a national championship as well. And a lot of teams are going to improve throughout the course of the season. But right now, Miami looks very, very good. The question mark is Mario Cristobal and his game management. They have avoided so far this year any of those debacles, but we've seen them before. And usually one game a year, Mario is going to do something crazy and cost his team a win by just poor game management. You know, maybe that doesn't happen this year and they can just sail through into the playoff. But, you know, remember last year they're up like 21-3 or something like that on Syracuse. If they win the game, they're going to be in the playoff, and they blew it. So you can never totally get that out of your mind when it's happened so many times. We all remember the Georgia Tech game a couple years ago where they didn't kneel on it and turned it over and got beat that way. Like, stuff has just happened. And so, you know, you got to be on guard. But I do think that as of right now, they seem to have a great mix offensively, defensively, experienced quarterback. They're physical on the line of scrimmage. They're definitely a contender.
After the first week of the season, Alabama fans were praying they hit the Powerball so they could buy out Kalen DeBoer. And it's just kind of interesting to look back. Like, Florida State is a legitimate team, and that game was in Tallahassee. And I know that Alabama was off this week, but they beat Louisiana Monroe 73-0. They drubbed Wisconsin, who may not be good, but, you know, they still did that. And they obviously have a huge test this weekend on the road at Georgia. I'm just curious if you think we might look back at the end of the season and Alabama winds up being better than anybody could have imagined after that first game.
I mean, maybe, but they play at Georgia this week. So I think that'll probably tell us what we need to know, don't you think?
Yes, yes. I just, I feel like, you know, I feel differently about the Alabama loss to Florida State today than I did then, because Florida State is a top 10 team in the country, and nobody thought that coming in.
Okay, but everyone was sort of back on the bandwagon when they ragdolled Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that really matters that much. I mean, look at what a mess Wisconsin is.
Yep.
So that game didn't really tell me anything about Alabama. This is the game this week that's going to tell us about Alabama. Let's see what they do on the road to Georgia in a matchup where we all know they've had Georgia's number. And if they get beat again and it's a second loss before the end of September, I think we're right back to Kalen DeBoer being, I don't want to say on the hot seat because that's stupid, but that certainly quality of life in Tuscaloosa will be difficult.
And then last one here for Brian Kelly. If he wins this one on the road this week at Oxford, I assume he'll be, you know, a pick, maybe a short favorite or a short underdog. What will that say about LSU this season if he can pull that off?
Yeah, I mean, look, LSU kind of turned the narrative with that win against Clemson in week one. I think that's a little bit maybe deceptive because we now know that Clemson is a big underachiever. LSU's good defensively. We know that they've improved significantly, and they got a lot of stuff right in the portal. Offensively is where I do think there's still some question marks. You know, Brian Kelly lashed out at that reporter a couple weeks ago for asking about it and sort of said that, you know, they just did what they needed to do to win the game and didn't push too hard offensively. But I don't know if I really totally buy that. I just think they maybe don't have that next gear yet. Will they develop it? Will they get it? We'll see. I don't love their offensive coordinator, Joe Sloan. I have some question marks there for sure. But their defense is good. The SEC is wide open. It's going to be fascinating to see how all these teams develop. And I do think we're just in an era now where teams are going to look different at the end of the season than they do at the beginning.
Dan, you're the best, man. Appreciate the time as always, man. Thank you.
All right, John. See you, buddy.
Yes, sir. He is Dan Wolkin, covers college football for Yahoo Sports. Senior writer there for Yahoo Sports. Yeah, LSU is a 2.5-point underdog on the road at Oxford. So, I mean, I guess that's probably pricing in that the starter will be back for Ole Miss, although it doesn't really seem to matter.
No.
The backup, Chambliss, just seems just as good. So, we actually have a fantastic college football slate this weekend.
Yeah.
You got Alabama, Georgia. You got LSU, Ole Miss. Tennessee, Mississippi State. That's a banger. That'll be more interesting than people thought at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So you've got quite a few games this weekend that'll be fun. Notre Dame at Arkansas. That'll be a big one. That'll be a big one for old Sam Pittman.
This seems to be the more teller weekend though, because I'm kind of out on Ole Miss. I don't know about you. And I'm also out on Mississippi State, by the way. Like, I think Mississippi State's about to get a reckoning this weekend with Tennessee.
See. I mean, I don't know, man. Ole Miss beat the piss out of Tulane this weekend.
I know they did.
I got to say, I'm impressed. I'm impressed by what they've done. Going on the road at Kentucky, I know Kentucky stinks, but I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, look, we're getting in conference season.
Right.
No more jabroni games. So we'll certainly start to get our real answers about who these teams are. But, you know, Ole Miss, man, Lane Kiffin always has those dudes, you know, in the playoff hunt. Yeah. I mean, it is pretty amazing every single year how consistent that is. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Chris Powers is going to join us at 12:25. We'll talk to him about Memphis football, the program, sort of just the turnaround that it has seen over the last 15, 20 years. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.